Hey everyone, Rob B here with Rob D. And we've just had a mini budget. But there was nothing mini about that budget. It's going to make a huge impact on our economy, and it's going to really impact property investors as well. We tell you what's happened, and then we do not hold back in giving you our views.
Hello and welcome to the Property Podcast, where we take the knowledge that we've gained from advising a multi-million pound property fund and putting together hundreds of deals every year. And now would be the perfect time to make sure that you're following the show on your favourite podcasting app, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you're listening. Make sure you get each episode downloaded to your phone, because we've got a big few episodes coming up. There is so much happening in the markets right now, and we'll be talking about just some of that today. So don't go anywhere.
So, Rob, this is episode 498. So the big 500 is approaching, which is absolutely nuts, absolutely bonkers that we're 500 episodes in. 500 episodes, not missing a week, a single week. And, of course, we won't be missing episode 500, but we wanted to do something special. We wanted to do something different. And we are going to do something different. You can decide whether it's special or not after the event. But Rob, we are going to do a live episode on YouTube. Already, as I say it, I'm feeling regret. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to go live for the first time, or one of the first times. We've done a live in person, but that wasn't to the masses. This will be open to everyone. This will be open to the masses. People can listen and watch. Actually, for the first time, watch us podcast for the first time. And we've waited 500 episodes until we did that, probably for good reason.
Yeah, the policy of not appearing on camera and not allowing anyone to talk back while we're recording has been in place for nearly 10 years, but we're throwing out those rules. So to set expectations, it probably is going to be a bit shambolic. But hopefully, if you're a long-term fan of the show, you'll find it interesting, at least. So episode 500 will, of course, be going out on a Thursday morning, because it always does. But we'll be recording this live with you on Friday, the 7th of October at midday. So that's next Friday at midday. So you can join us during your lunch break. So that's when it's happening. But Rob, what does someone need to do to join us?
So, well, first of all, go onto YouTube at that time. Subscribe now if you haven't already. If you are a subscriber, make sure you turn on the notification bell so you don't miss it. Because, you know, life happens. We get busy and distracted, and you don't want to turn up and we're just leaving or miss it altogether. So turn on those notification bells within YouTube. You can just do it for our channel. You don't have to do it across all the channels, so you're not going to get pinged constantly. And obviously subscribe as well. That will allow you to ask questions. So make sure you go and do that now. Go and find the Property Hub YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe. And if you have subscribed, turn on the notification bell. And then mark in your calendar, Friday 7th at noon, where we will be going live for probably the first and last time. If nothing else, I think it's going to be a great advert for our editor, Dan, who will be able to show actually how much work he does and how ropey we are. But hey, we've waited 500 episodes to show you what that's going to be like.
Last Friday, the new Chancellor, Kwasi Kwarteng, stood up and delivered a mini-budget. And I'll be honest, I barely even registered that this was happening. And I'm glad that that's the case, because budget days have been uncomfortable days for property investors over recent years. But this budget, despite having mini in the title of it, was actually a lot more significant than I thought it would be. And I think had announcements in there that were bigger than most people expected them to be. So in this episode, we'll be focusing on reactions to the mini budget. We'll be talking about the reaction of the markets and the media and people at large. And we'll be talking about our reactions as well, especially from a property perspective. But before we do all of that, Rob, we should probably have a quick run through of what actually happened.
So let's tackle the main stuff, because there was a lot in here. So yeah, the one that's probably attracted the attention of most property investors is stamp duty is now 0%. Up to £250,000. If you're a first-time buyer, then it's £425,000, zero stamp duty. Investors will still pay the 3% premium, but that still means on a £250,000 purchase, you'll save £2,500. The basic rate income tax has been cut to 19%, which will save people a few hundred quid a year. National insurance increases have been reversed, and that 1.25% increase that came in is going. The highest tax bracket for income tax at 45% has been abolished, so now it's just a flat 40% for everybody once they reach that rate. The planned increase to corporation tax up to 25% from the current 19% has been scrapped, so that's not happening now. Another big one is IR35 changes are reversed, and don't worry, if that doesn't mean anything to you, we'll explain what it is and what that means, but that's great news for contractors. And then there was all the usual stuff around beer duty and all that good stuff, but they're the big ones. They're the ones that are going to move the needle. So, Rob, before we get into what we think for both generally and from a property point of view, let's briefly discuss the reaction of everybody else.
Yeah, well, I must admit, I've not read anything around this. We're recording this on the Monday, a couple of days after it's happened. I had a super busy weekend. So other than a skim of the headlines, I haven't looked in detail at what the press are saying. The one thing that I do know has happened is that the markets didn't like it. The FTSE 100 has fallen back down to just above 7,000 and the pound has plummeted. I know this because my friends who run e-commerce businesses and have their earnings in dollars are very happy because they've got earnings in dollars and expenses in pounds, and so that's effectively a pay rise for them. But bad news for most people. So Rob, clearly not popular with the markets, and of course you know that it's not going to be popular with a lot of people. Whatever they do, the opposition are always going to stand up and say it's terrible because that's their job. But I know you've read about this a little bit more than I have. So other than the normal people saying what you'd expect them to say, what can we pull out of the general reaction to what happened on Friday?
It's interesting because when I've spoken to people individually, the sentiment has generally been positive. And that's understandable, right? Because the measures introduced are going to benefit most people one way or another. Some people will benefit more than others, but pretty much everybody benefits, at least in the short term. Wider, more general reaction, well, media-led reaction, has been more negative. That said, it depends on your frame of the world. Because if you want to find positive news stories on this budget, you will find them. And if you want to find negative stories on the mini budget, then you will also find them. But I do think, because of the reaction of the markets, on balance, the media is more negative on this budget, whereas individuals, at least the ones I've spoken to, seem more positive. Things worth noting, though, are on the market's reaction. That is quite a reaction, because normally, when the pound falls, the FTSE 100 strengthens. Because just like your e-commerce friends, Rob, a lot of the FTSE 100 companies actually earn their income in dollars. So therefore, their balance sheets are strengthened by a weaker pound. And even with that, the FTSE 100 has still fallen. So to have that double whammy is quite a statement by the markets to say, we do not like this. So why don't they like it? Let's get into our read of this budget and our reaction. I mean, Rob, you may have not spent the weekend poring over the newspapers, watching 5,000 YouTube videos on the budget, but you know the announcements, you know what's happened. How do you feel about this budget?
Surprised, I think, is the word. So I basically ignored the entire Conservative leadership election thing from a kind of a cynical position of, I don't really like any of them and who cares anyway, whatever. It's whoever's in charge is going to be pretty much the same. But I think this budget is an indication that I was wrong about that. There were a couple of different views of the world on offer, and I think a Chancellor in a Rishi Sunak government would have been making a very different set of announcements. I'm also surprised because quite a lot of this I can't see making much of a difference to the situation at the moment. And yet they also know it's going to be unpopular. So if you take something like removing the 45% additional tax rate, I can't imagine that's going to make a great big difference in terms of the amount of tax that's collected or the amount of spending that happens or anything like that. It makes some difference, but I don't think it's going to be loads. And yet it's obviously going to be politically unpopular because it looks like a tax cut for people who are earning the most, which it is. And stamp duty is another example where, regardless of whether you think that the policy is a good thing or not, it just seems like a strange thing to be doing right now because the housing market has not exactly been struggling. Maybe they're aware of the importance of the housing market and they need it to keep on going to sort of get that wealth effect going and get the growth. But again, it seems like something that's politically probably not going to play very well in certain areas. So I don't really know what to make of it, Rob, because you look at the policies that are in there and you go, well, this is great for people who are in business or who are earning a decent amount. And that's fine, but that's not necessarily what most people in the country would say that we need right now. And it's certainly not what's going to be politically popular with most people, unless there's some angle here that I'm missing.
Well, you do have the cut to basic income tax. You do have the reversal of the national insurance increases, which will help people who don't earn as much. I know it wasn't part of the budget, but you've got the energy caps as well, which have been recently announced. So I do think there is a bit in there for all income earners. I completely agree on the point around the 45% additional tax ban being removed, though, because I just don't get it. Like, what do you win from that? You don't win a lot. Like you said, you probably don't bring in a lot more tax. It's not going to make much of a difference. In fact, it'll probably bring in less tax. And then it sounds like I've lost my marbles there, because you would go, well, of course it'll bring in less tax because it's a cut, because sometimes tax cuts can stimulate more revenue. But in the case of income tax, that's not going to be the case. So that one did surprise me. I think this is a budget to win votes. We're just over 2 years away from the next planned general election. It's January of 25. So for me, just a broad range of tax cuts across all income bands is designed to say, hey, look, we like you, make sure you like us. And the Chancellor has even said that there are more tax cuts to come. This, for me, is a short-term budget. This is a budget to make people feel good now, and I believe a budget to help stimulate the economy now. This is a budget, for me, that is trying to drive the economy forward as strongly as it possibly can, leading us into the next election. We've talked about this so often on the podcast over the years, where we've watched governments take short-term views when it comes to policy. And that's what this budget screams out to me. We'll get into shortly what we think the impact and effect will be of the budget, but you can see where I'm leading with this one. This is a really different Conservative budget, because over the last few years, there's been more emphasis towards infrastructure projects, investing in medium to long-term plays, which will make a difference to the economy over the medium to long-term. This is not that budget. This budget barely talked about any measures that will make a difference over the medium and long-term. There was the odd little bit here and there, but the majority of this budget was focused on the here and now. And you could say, maybe understandably, because of where we are at the moment and the cost of living crisis that we're going through. So maybe you could argue that that's a good thing. But it was so short term, and it seems to me so aimed at being a popular budget, at least to the individuals, that to me they're not even hiding it. It is just so blatant.
I think that's probably right. I hadn't thought about it that way, but it's probably, okay, we're 2 years out from an election. We haven't got time for everything to go a bit crap, sort itself out, and then come back again and everyone will be feeling good in 2 years' time. So we kind of need to keep it going for the next 2 years and start pumping things up now. That's the cynical but probably correct view of what's going on. A more generous interpretation, which probably isn't true, but could be, is that they do just have a different view of how the economy works. So there's been a lot of talk about, well, we need to increase taxes to pay back all the debt that we incurred during COVID and all that. And maybe they're going, well, let's be honest here, that debt's not getting paid back, because it's not. It's just not. So rather than pretending it is, we can focus on other things as well and try to get the economy actually going. Who knows which of those is true? Maybe both. But I kind of like the fact that we've got something a bit different now. I'm not saying that I like the policies as a whole. I'm not saying that I like the political party or the individuals. You have to be very careful when you're talking about politics. But I like the fact that it seems like we might have a bit of a different view of the world on offer here. Because for the last few years, there's been so little between the two major parties in terms of policy. They really have converged. But then a lot of what was announced on Friday was reversing things that have been done over just the last year or two. So increasing corporation tax, increasing national insurance. Those have only just happened, or in some cases haven't even come in yet, and they've just been reversed. So it is a big shift in terms of how the Conservative Party is setting itself out now from how it has been. And you may not like it, plenty of people won't, but at least now there is actually some difference to have a debate about.
You could say it's a very Tory budget. It's more typical of what you would expect over the decades to see from a Tory government. But the reason why possibly the Tories had gone in a different direction was to win votes across the country more broadly. And normally, historically, the North don't like the Tories that much, a large part of the North anyway. And this budget, you could say, is going more towards their roots. And will that be popular in the next election? Well, we'll see. At least it'll make it interesting. But this budget, yes, it'll affect all individuals, but it's also going to impact the property market generally and for investors. And we've got this far into the pod without talking about it yet, Rob. So let's get into it. So for me, first of all, I love the higher threshold for first-time buyers. 425,000 now, up to that amount, no stamp duty. I think that's brilliant. It allows more people on to the property market. Stamp duty is so prohibitive for so many people, either, you know, getting onto the market or moving around the market. So removing that barrier, I see as a good thing. The removal of stamp duty generally for up to 250 is very interesting. And that means that, of course, property investors will benefit, and anybody else interacting in the market will benefit as well. Will it stimulate the market though, Rob? That is the question. Because we have had a pause. So yes, you rightly highlighted earlier in this pod that the property market's not exactly struggled. But to me, trying to read between the lines, which is what we do, right? I look at this budget and go, They don't like that pause. They want it to push on again. Again, with the election in mind, if people are feeling good about their wealth through their own properties coming into the beginning of 2025, that's a vote winner. If the market now stalls, that's not a vote winner. If the market goes into reverse over the next 2 years, that's certainly not a vote winner for the Tories. So they have a vested interest, in my opinion, to see the property party continue. And this is a step towards that.
I think that's right. I think that is the reason that they've done it. But even if they're doing it for selfish reasons, I think it is a good thing anyway, because it's only in the last couple of months on the podcast that I've moaned about how the stamp duty bans haven't been increased for years and years and years. So, of course, as prices increase, more and more properties have been caught up in them. So the increase to 250 is just a good thing anyway. The other good thing about this is it isn't a short-term holiday, and it's not something that's going to come into effect in the future. And so people are rushing to get in before it or after it or whatever it is. We've seen so many different variations of that over the years. This has happened immediately and it's permanent. So what I would like to think would happen is that it's not going to distort the market. It's not going to suddenly go back from cooling, which it has been, to absolutely on fire as it was before that. It should just be a gentle positive for the market, but we'll see.
We will. Is the hint of future tax cuts is really interesting for me, because if it doesn't push the market forward as much as they'd like, particularly the property market, then maybe more favourable tax measures will come in for the property market in the future. Another tax change of note for most property investors is the corporation tax not going up to 25% now, because so many people run their property businesses through limited companies because of the way that the tax is structured. That rate staying at 19%, well, that makes a big difference for when you're looking at the income that you make from your portfolio. So that is good news as well.
One final thing, and this is a bit niche, but we mentioned IR35. Without getting into detail, this is a rule around contractors, and it's supposed to make sure that people aren't basically employees, but paying themselves as contractors, which can mean paying less tax and national insurance and things like that. It's been strengthened over recent years. It's become very complex, and contractors have been extremely unhappy about it. And now all those changes from the last 5 years or so are just going away. And the reason that's relevant is that we know that a lot of property investors, a lot of our clients at Property Hub Invest, earn their money to invest in property as contractors. So I'm not suggesting that that is enough of a change that's going to move the property market, and it's still a very niche topic. But for a probably disproportionate number of listeners to this podcast, that's one of the most eye-catching things in this budget.
So overall, for property investors here and now today, I think it's hard to argue that this isn't a good budget. For property investors, for our own interests, this is pretty much broadly, if you're going to look at it as a positive, negative, or neutral budget, this is a positive budget. But what's it mean for the wider economy? Let's take it up a level. What will happen? I'm not an economist. Rob, unless you've been doing some qualifications at the weekend, you're not an economist. But we do love trying to predict what's going to happen with the economy. And actually, I think the reason we've been correct, probably more than incorrect, when we've assessed the markets and the economy and what's happening is because we just rely on common sense principles. So let's look at this budget and use our common sense. This budget is designed to stimulate the UK economy in the short term. These are all short-term measures for the here and now. This is not an investment plan for the future. This is not, let's make Britain great for the next 20, 30 years. This is, let's make things really good now, or much better than they are now. That's the intent of this budget. So if that's the intent, if they stimulate the market, and the way it's stimulated is they're trying to put more money in people's pockets by making tax cuts. If they're trying to put more money in people's pockets as well, for me, that's really interesting when it comes to the potential of future interest rate rises. Because yes, apparently the Bank of England is independent, but as you've heard previously, Rob and I are a bit sceptical. So if they want to put more money in people's pockets, they probably don't want to keep raising interest rates as well. We'll cover that more in the market update next week, because obviously a big piece of news in the last month is the rise in interest rates. So make sure you join us for next week's pod when we go into that in more detail. But for me, Rob, this government has clearly made a statement to say, we're going to make the short term good and we're going to have a party until the election. And screw what happens after that, because we'll be in power and we'll have another 4 years. But let's make people happy now. And normally, when a government takes that approach, it's boom time. And we'd started a boom. We've had a bit of a pause. And this government is determined to get the music back on, people dancing and enjoying themselves all the way into 2025. Will this budget be enough to deliver it? Who knows? But as they've said, they're prepared to do more. I think they've made a clear statement that this boom cycle is going to carry on and we're all going to feel wealthier for the next few years. The thing that concerns me is that they are going straight into the classic 18-year property cycle territory where we'll ramp things up heavily during the end of the cycle because we don't want the party to stop, and therefore the downside is much harsher. For the record, and I'm probably going to shock people and I've left it to the end, I don't like this budget. Yes, if the flip side of it benefits me in the short term, but I think this is a terrible medium long-term budget. I am prepared to be poorer in the short term to benefit the medium and long term of our country and the people who live here. I don't think, although it seems crazy because it's tax cuts, I don't think this type of budget benefits the long term or the medium term even. I'd like to see more investment in our economy, more infrastructure projects, and if we could do some tax cuts along the way, then brilliant, or more targeted tax cuts that are actually going to make a meaningful difference to people. But for me, this is a great budget if you're looking at the short term, the next couple of years, you're going to feel probably better off. But for the medium or long term, I think this is a rubbish budget. And I waited to the end, Rob, because I wanted to hold back. But I know we have boom and bust cycles. I wish we didn't, but human nature, history just keeps repeating itself. And I wish at some point we'd learn the lessons. But the way we're structured as a society is for politicians to win short-term votes and not be judged on what they've done after 5 or 10 years. And I know we can't have people in power for that long, but I wish there was another way of engineering our system, the way we operate in our world, because we aren't making decisions for the future. At least that's what I believe. There you go. Little bit of a rant at the end. You had to wait to the end for that one, but at least you got it out of me.
We got there in the end. Well, I think you've hit upon something really interesting, which does come back to interest rates, and we will talk about it more next week. But it comes back to this point about central bank independence, because the Bank of England is raising interest rates because they're trying to slow things down. And the Fed in the US is doing this to a greater extent. But because inflation is such a problem, the only way that they see to reduce inflation is to reduce demand, is to cool down the economy, kind of accept that there's going to be a recession, and that's the price that you pay for getting inflation down. I kind of have a different view of things, but the point is that's how they see the world. But then you've got them trying to do that, and you've got politicians going, yeah, I get it, but no, we don't want to do that because that's not good news for us. And I believe that the politicians always win. So you could see this as a bit of a tug of war between the Bank of England wanting to do one thing and politicians wanting to do another. And one interpretation of what's happened is that, oh, well, now there'll be more demand, therefore interest rates will have to go up even more to kind of cool things down. But again, politicians always win. I'm not convinced that they will allow that to happen. But here's the thing, Rob. I agree with everything that you've said. I think if you do want to benefit the economy over the long term and you want to give people more income and make them feel wealthier and more secure and all that, then having kind of longer term infrastructure projects is a far better way of doing that than to cut taxes in the short term. But right now, does that make sense? Because there's no unemployment. So if you were going to kick off some infrastructure projects, then you'd need a load of people to do that. So you'd just be having to tempt people away from other projects that they're already on, which would mean paying them more, which would make them wealthier, but then would keep on stoking up inflation. So the infrastructure spend makes sense for a situation where you want to get things going and you've got a load of unemployment. But at the moment, there is no unemployment, basically. And yet you've still got an economy that is kind of just struggling along despite that. So it seems to me that we're in a bit of a weird position where none of the kind of normal templated responses are necessarily going to work.
I think it's a type of jobs. So you're right, there is no unemployment, or virtually no unemployment. So it's a type of jobs for me. Because when we invest in the UK, it's to invest in something different. Because the UK is so heavily reliant on finance and financial services. Our biggest export is finance by a long shot. We are a world finance super centre because of London. And that is incredible. But what do we have after that? Not a lot. I think our second biggest export is education. And that's great that we have great universities and we're seen for having great education in this country. But really, we should have more, much more. And it's a long gap between financial services and to anything else when it comes to exports and value of them. And the reason I feel quite passionate about this is the UK is then so sensitive to swings in the world economy. Because when things are going well, finance goes well, the UK does well. But when finance doesn't go well, which we've seen after 08, the UK is in dire straits. If we could invest to have a more broad range of industries, so we become a renewables superpower, for example, or possibly AI, it doesn't really matter. Just look at the technology that's coming through that's going to make a meaningful difference to the world over the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And let's go, okay, let's not hurt finance, which some people want to do, which is crazy to me. Like, that's what puts the food on the table at the moment. But let's de-risk ourselves by channeling the money, the investment, into other industries. So I think it's the type of jobs that needs changing. That, yes, we have the finance jobs, and we have a lot of jobs that support the finance jobs, and we have a huge service sector as well. But if we can get jobs that will make the UK more important, more wealthy, and then the jobs that we have are more skilled and then become higher paid, it could put the UK in a very different place. I'm sure there's flaws to what I'm saying. I don't have all the answers, and there is probably flaws to every single type of plan. But again, coming back to those common sense principles, to me, that is something that makes sense and something that we should strive to do. And this budget, while it'll probably help us all in the short term, will it deliver in the long term? Will it help us during the next major recession? Almost certainly not.
No, I think that's fair. And whenever the next great big everything crash does happen, we'll be going into that with a lot more debt than we otherwise would have done. But then I'm not convinced that an alternative plan of, well, let's try and raise taxes and balance the books and all that kind of thing would have worked either. So I think you put your finger on it earlier, Rob, when you said that we do just have boom and bust cycles. We just do. It'd be far better if we didn't, but we do. So one way or another, we're going to have a boom and then we're going to have a bust. And I think this budget and other measures like it that may follow are going to prolong the boom and make it an even bigger one, which then means an even bigger bust afterwards.
Which may sound negative, right? And we're not trying to leave you heading out of this pod feeling down, because you know what? Boom bust cycles, I'm not a fan. I've made that quite clear. But if you know they happen, and I'm not saying this is fair, but if you have the knowledge, which you do if you listen to the podcast, then take advantage of it. And we'll talk more about that in the market update next week, because Rob and I have started to make moves. I know, weird market, and we're doing stuff and making moves. Well, what are those moves? We'll talk about that towards the end of the market update next week, because I think it's a very, very interesting time in the market right now. And I think it's actually, for as negative as I sound, a huge opportunity for the short to medium term. So why not take advantage of that opportunity? The whole system might not be right, but if you're forced into the system, then make the most of it for you. And next week will help you do that.
So loads going on at the moment. And we'll be talking about some of this in Market Update next week as well. But then the week after that, it's episode 500. I can't believe we've made it this far. But as we said earlier, we will be recording episode 500 live. So find Property Hub on YouTube. Subscribe so you can ask questions. That's the only way you can ask questions. Hit the notification bell so you get reminded when the session starts. And come join us on Friday the 7th at midday for a live recording of the Property Podcast where you can ask us your questions. It's going to be a lot of fun. Maybe not for us, but for everyone else. It'll be a lot of fun. So do please join us.
So we've discussed a lot in this week's pod, but next week we have the market update where we'll be discussing interest rates, a recession, and so much more. So that is a must listen to. Make sure you join us next Thursday. And of course, we'll be back with Ask Rob and Rob on Tuesday as well. So a little bonus pod in between. Until then, take care, have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.